Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, guys, thank you for being here today. Those of you online, thank you for being with us here today, too. Whether you're here now or whether you're going to be here later, which would be now if you're tuning in then. Never mind, my ADD is really kind of weird. I was thinking there was a very short time in my life where running was fun. Very short. I grew up, and I know some of you have a hard time believing this, but I was into sports. I was very athletic. I was in motion all the time. Now my motion is pretty much just this, like, nah, forget it, you know, that kind of thing. But there was a short time where I kind of got into running. It just started with like little 5Ks and things like that. And again, like I said, it was very short. Because if you grow up as an athlete or if you grow up doing any kind of sports, when you were told you had to run, it was usually punishment, right? You know, football players, okay, get on the line. Okay, I need the offense on the line. Run up that hill, go. It was a punishment. So in my mind, running is a punishment. It's a punishment. It's what people do. I don't really get into it. But there were a couple times as I was teaching in the schools where we would have Olympic days. Or we would have, you know, those days where, you know, each grade comes out and they're acting crazy. And I remember they're saying, like, come on, Mr. Cook, you run with us. And so I'm like, okay. And so, man, I'm in this race, right? And I come in third, right? Those first graders, some of them are fast, right? But anyway, I watch them as they take off, you know. And a lot of them just take off with this unabandoned just freedom. And then about a quarter of the way, you see them just kind of stop and start walking. It's like they start strong, but they can't finish. You know what I mean? They start strong, but they can't finish. They get tanked. They end up walking to the finish line. And that's what happened with the Galatians here. When Paul was talking to the church in Galatia, he's saying, guys, you started this race strong, but you're running out of gas here. And he says, for example, in verse 7, he says, you were running well. Who prevented you? What prevented you? Who prevented you from hearing the truth or obeying the truth? In Hebrews, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says that we are to run with endurance the race that has been set before us. In other words, we're to run this race. We run at different paces. Right, we're just all trying to get to the finish line. We're not trying to you know, we're not going to, what was the lady's name that she's running, that America was really counting on her to win, and then the other lady accidentally, they got tangled up, and she just laid on the ground crying. You know, she was supposed to win the gold medal, and she ended up getting the cry award kind of thing. But what stops us from reaching that finish line? Well, in Hebrews it says our sin can hinder us. But Paul is saying here also false teaching. False teaching. And that's what had crept into the church. Now, in this time, it was a specific sin. Basically, the Judaizers, or what he says, those people of circumcision. You know, he's saying, like, they were coming in and saying, like, oh, yeah, Jesus is awesome, but you got to still follow all these rules. And he's going, no, 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 who is telling you that? Who is telling you? It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus is everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus something else equals nothing. Right? So what he's saying is, what's going on with you guys? Let's get back into the race. So let's dive into chapter 5 of Galatians. And it says this, verse 1, for our freedom, Christ has set us free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit yourselves again to the yoke of slavery. In Acts, Paul is talking with Peter and the leaders of the church. He's going, like, guys, look, we can't even keep up with the law. And so why are you going to try to take this yoke, this burden, and place it on these new believers? We can't even keep it as Jews. How are they going to keep it as Christ followers? And who's going to sign up to say, like, okay, man, there's freedom in Christ. Freedom to, oh, no, there's a whole checklist I got to go through. That's not what Christ came to do. And so in chapter 5, Paul addresses two things. He addresses the false messages. What are the words that are coming down? What is being taught? And I want to talk about four things that he says about them. But then he also talks about the false messengers. And he talks about five things, and I'm going to quickly go through these. The first thing, the result of a false message, is Christ is insufficient. He's not enough. In other words, you got to have Christ, but then you got to do this. You got to have Christ, yeah, that's good, but then you got to this, and this. You got to light this many candles. You got to say this many prayers. In fact, you have to pray it this same way. You know? And so the verse in chapter 2 says this, "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you." In other words, I'm listening to this gospel message you're telling me, guys. I've fallen in love with Jesus. I want to praise him. I want to serve him. I want to change my life. And then they say, okay, good. The first thing you got to do is you got to be baptized, because you repent and then you're baptized, and then we're going to circumcise you. And after you're circumcised, we got this handbook here, 613 other laws. Just do as many as you can. And Paul is saying, if you're going to accept circumcision, then basically Christ didn't need to have to die. I'll tell you what, just get circumcised, take the handbook, follow all 613 laws, and you got it made. The problem is they can't. We can't. The law was given to us to show us how far we are from God, how far we are from holiness. We're selfish and self-centered and self-seeking, and we need a Savior. And the Savior is Jesus Christ. So Paul, in strong words, says this, Christ will be no advantage to you. Then the second thing, not only is Christ insufficient, the second false message is you got to obey the law. In other words, Christ is okay, but you still got to obey the law. Look at verse 3. He says this, "I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated now to keep the whole law." In other words, if you're going to follow the law, follow the law. If you're going to follow Christ, follow Christ. Don't kind of mix up the gospel here. In the modern church, it kind of looks like this. Jesus is love. So all we're going to do now is do whatever we want, and we're just going to love each other. Well, that doesn't work, because we're loving each other from a human standpoint. We're not loving because God loved us first, and we're loving people with the love of God. We're loving people with our agendas, with our ideas of how they should be. That's why we have so many denominations, you know? Any former Baptist in here? Okay? Don't be afraid to raise your hand. I mean, usually y'all were the ones yelling and y'all were the ones that were right. Everybody else was wrong, right? All right, what about Catholics? Any former Catholics in here? Well, bless you. Thank you for being here. Any Pentecostals or Charismatics? Any chance you can to raise your hand, right? That's like... That was kind of weak, though. What about any Methodist, former Methodist? Ooh, a lot of you. How many are just non-denominational? You just never really went to an organized church. You know, you couldn't make up your mind. Okay, so don't raise your hand too much, because some of the Baptists right there are going to sign you up. That's what always happened. But the idea is we have all these things because, yeah, love of God is so important. Love of Jesus is so important. But then we have the way that we're going to do things. You know, and you got to follow our way. You know, you got to be baptized a certain way. You've got to you can't do that. You can't do that. You know, some people know dancing in the church. Some people, you can't play cards. Some people, you can't play cards and dance at the same time. It's just crazy, the stuff. And if you're going to obey the law, you have to obey the law. So Christ isn't sufficient. You got to obey the law. The third false message they're getting there is they're being turned away from grace. Look at verse number 4. Verse 4 says, "You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified," look, "you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen from" what? Grace. God gives us this free gift. he continued to search for us. And Jesus gives us the story of the prodigal son so we could see the love of God, that even when we finally repent and come back to him saying, like, look, we're not even worthy to be called your son or daughter. Just accept us and bless us. He's running to meet us, to give us a new robe, to give us a new, to give us a feast, to give us a new name. It's his mercy, it's grace. It's not what we can do. It's not what we bring to the table. It's what Christ has done for us. It's done. It's like the prophet said back in the 60s, it's signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Right? Some of you old people know, can get that reference. Some of you young people, you'll get it one day. You'll be where we're at. Christ is insufficient. Got to obey the law. They're turning away from grace and adding works on top of that. And then this one here, verse 5, look at this. They lose the hope of future glory. Verse 5, for through the Spirit by faith we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. We ourselves, being led by the Spirit, what do we have? We wait for the hope of righteousness. In other words, we are waiting. We're so in love with Christ and what he's done, we want to live holy lives. But if we try to follow the law and we put it down as a checklist, we take our eyes off of Christ and we focus on the list and we become like, okay, don't talk to me now. Okay, love your neighbor. Don't talk to me now. I got to love my neighbor. I got to do, you know? So we wait for the holiness that now Christ is going to infuse us with the Holy Spirit, and we begin to become more Christ-like each and every day, and then we become holy, not because of what we're doing, it's what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and what God is doing through us. We do great works. We serve others. We do the things we do, but not because we have to do them. We do them because God loved us so much that now we can love others. God forgave us of so much, we could forgive others. God blessed us so much, we could bless others. It's not we have to do these things. You have to do these things. I mean, there are some things that God, if we believe, and we do, that God has given each of you a gift or a talent, right? He's given something because we're all part of the family of God. He said some are the head, some are the feet, some are the nose, some are the toes, some are the whatever, right? We're all parts of the body. And not all the parts of the body you're going to do the same thing. Your passion may be, I want to go serve the pregnancy center. You know, the idea of unwed mothers, it breaks my heart. The idea of being told abortion is the only way, it breaks my heart. And so you're passionate about that. Well, guess what? God put that passion in you. Serve God passionately. But not everybody is passionate there. Some people have a different passion. I get sick and tired when I drive and I see so many people that are homeless. And so I want to serve them. I want to feed them. I if I had the room, I'd bring them all home. Not everybody is wired that way, but some people are. Just because someone's not serving in the same capacity you are doesn't mean they're not serving. We serve out of love what God has done for us. And we have that hope of future glory. How do we get this hope? How do we get the hope? We receive the hope by trusting in Christ by grace alone. I think of the hymn. We were doing pretty much all hymns and gospel songs this morning. The hymn writer says this, my hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's the gospel. My hope is not built on, I hope I get there. It's a different hope. Like, I hope that the world is going to turn and we're all going to be in heaven together in the mansions in glory. It's not us. I hope I get there. And it's not based on how good I can be, because I can tell you, you're not going to be good enough. I'm not going to be good enough. But it's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That should be freedom right there. That's freedom. So Galatians 5 and 6, our hope. But then Paul starts to attack the false messengers. He starts to shift here in verse 7 to quit talking about what the false message is. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And now he's going straight to the messengers. The first thing he says these false messengers do is they hinder people obeying what the truth is. Look at verse 7. You were running well. In other words, you started that race so good. I was so proud of you. We planted this church in Galatia, and man, you guys took off. I was so proud of you. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who was it? Who was it? I could just picture Paul, because Paul's a rough character. You're going to see in a minute, he really gets on to him. And you ain't going to believe what he says. But it's pretty strong, his words, and he leaves no picture that you cannot see what he's talking about, right? So he's saying, who in the world got you to believe all this nonsense? Get rid of that. Get back to the gospel. Get back to Jesus Christ. Get back to what God has done for you and leave it at that. Now go live your lives in the freedom to serve others in love. He says that, he wants to know, why are you being hindered? What's stopping you? What's holding you back? Who are you believing? Who are you listening to? The second thing, he says, these false messengers, these are not from God. They are not from God. Look at verse 8. What does he say in verse 8? He says this, this persuasion is not from him, that's God, who calls you. This other stuff that you're hearing is not from God. When a preacher gets up and a preacher starts to, when you see a preacher do this and he's still got 10 minutes or something and he's talking, get up and leave. Because if he's not preaching this, he's preaching this, and it becomes self-serving. I'm going to preach what I want to preach and you guys are going to listen because I got the microphone. No, it's not from God. What is God saying? What is God saying? There are so many churches today in order to be so palatable to our society today, they're taking off the name of church, or they're taking out the name Bible. We are three-point Bible church. You know why? Because if you ask me a question, what I believe, it doesn't matter what I believe. Well, it does, but who cares what I think? Let's open the Bible up and see what God has to say about it. And then, if you want to argue, you're not going to argue with me. You're arguing with God. Well, I know it says that in the Bible, but God didn't mean it. Well, why is it there? Why is it there? I'm just not making this stuff up. You know? I don't want you to live your life the way I would design your life. I want you to live your life the way God has designed your life. But it's not from God. And what do they do now? Just a little bit contaminates others. Look at verse 9, and we're all familiar with this. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, just a little bit of yeast ruins the whole batch. It affects the whole batch. In other words, it only takes one or two people to really just destroy it. Think of some of the churches that we grew up in. One or two people that are grumpy, one or two people that are just complaining the whole time, what do they do to the whole church? It's almost like the whole church sits there each Sunday doing this. I've seen greeters that look like that. Welcome to our church. Can't believe you wore that. You know, it's like, what are we doing? Just one or two will affect the whole thing. We've had people come in the door here at Three Point, I'm sorry to say, that they've come for two or three times, then they never come back. And so I'll call occasionally and say, what's going on? Well, there's so-and-so in the church said this to me. One person said something to you and you walked away from what God has given you? Are you going to church somewhere, I hope? No, I don't want to serve a God that's like that. First off, that person that said whatever they said is not God. And one person saying one thing could affect a whole congregation. Do you understand that? We are representatives of Christ. When we're out in the world and we say that we are a Christ follower, people are looking at what you do and the way you live rather than, you know, hey, God bless you. I got a fish on my car. You represent Jesus Christ. And one little bad thing can influence and affect a whole church. False teachers are so problematic because they affect so many people. And this is why Paul is so intense in this letter. I mean, each week that we've been talking about Galatians, Paul is hitting hard. I mean, he starts off, hey, this is Paul, and then he dives right in. And he's not just ripping the Band-Aid off. He's ripping the Band-Aid off and putting on that methylate or mercurochrome. You guys ever remember that on your knees? I think that was from the devil. I really do. And my mom got a hold of just about every bottle she could, and she'd just slather that stuff on you. I got to where even if I broke an arm, I wouldn't tell my mom, because it's either going to be something squirted on it or poured on it, and it was going to be bad, you know? So, what's another thing? They are not from God. They contaminate others, but they will be judged. They will be judged. Look at verse 10. It says this, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, right? And then listen, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. Paul's saying, like, look, listen, I have confidence in Christ. I have confidence in God that you're going to take no other view. You're going to go back to the gospel, right? And those that are trying to lead you down the other path, they are going to bear the penalty, whoever it is. Whether it's the preacher, whether it's the praise team, whether it's whoever is telling you that and bringing up a false gospel, they're going to bear the penalty. And I'm praying and hoping in the Spirit that you're going to come back to God. And then what's another aspect that Paul talks about? Well, the fifth thing that he talks about is they persecute true teachers. You ever seen, they place the blame on somebody else. Oh, you know, don't listen to Paul. You know, he's preaching the Bible. We got to have the Bible, but we also know that science says this. And I found a book written by a guy back in 1972, and he says this. So if you take the Bible and you take what science is saying and you take this book written in 1972 and you put it all together, you kind of see that God really didn't mean what he said. So don't just listen to Paul. Paul's teaching you wrong, man. You know? But this is what Paul is saying in there, verses 11 and 12. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, in other words, if I am still preaching circumcision, you know, if I'm adding stuff to you besides just the grace and mercy of Christ, why am I still being persecuted? Remember what happened in Acts? They were saying, like, don't listen to Paul. Paul's not really preaching the gospel or whatever. So he goes to Jerusalem and meets with Peter and them and says, examine me and see if I'm not preaching what God is telling me to preach. See if I'm not preaching the gospel according to Jesus Christ. And they examine him and they said, no, you're doing good, man. Keep on keeping on. Well, that's a kind of did an own version of it, but that's what he said. Pretty much. I have said some coarse things in my life, but listen, I've never used this line. Look at going on. Why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. All right, but listen to this. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves, that you would emasculate yourselves. In other words, if someone's coming to preach circumcision to you, I wish they'd just cut the whole thing off, is what he's saying. Paul is not holding back. He is saying, this is how passionate I am about getting the truth out there of the gospel, that God loves you so much, you don't have to do all this stuff. We as good Jews, and I was the best of the best of the best of the Jews, I couldn't even follow all this stuff. So for me to sit there and say, like, okay, Jesus loves you so much that he died, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life if he just got baptized this way, and if he just would get circumcised, and if he just wouldn't work on the Sabbath, and if he just wouldn't, it wasn't that at all. It's just that God loved us so much. And Paul is so passionate about it, he says, man, go cut yourself. Quit messing with the hearts and the minds of the people in the church. They persecute these true teachers. So where do we land today? What are the final words? Well, thinking about this, we're prone to drift spiritually. It's our humanness. We are prone to drift spiritually because of our flesh, because of our wants and desires. Christian freedom, though, is not a license to sin. God doesn't say, look, come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest so that you could just sit there and do nothing. He doesn't say, look, my grace, by grace alone. You know, because even James says, yeah, you tell me you got faith. You tell me that you're filled with grace, but let me see it. I don't see any evidence in your lives. And so people say, well, James is preaching, you got to work. No, he's saying we want to work because we want to be kingdom builders for God. Do you realize we are the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus Christ? When people look at the church, we should be reflecting how much God loves people. That's the work that we're doing. That's the work we're doing, not because it's a checklist and we got to do this. We don't live to gratify the desires of the flesh because that's an abuse of freedom and a misunderstanding of freedom. We want to serve and we want to pursue godliness because that's what God has done for us. Let's start in verse 13 and I want to go all the way through verse 16. And we'll pick up with the Holy Spirit next week. Verse 13, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. In other words, serve one another through love, not because of what? As an opportunity to see what we can gain. 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. And the word is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. But the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're thinking like, oh, well, what if I don't love myself? Oh, stop, you love yourself. Look how selfish you are. I mean, how many times you pass by the mirror and, You know, we love ourselves. Comes down to one root beer left in the refrigerator and you go to get it because your mouth now has got that taste. I want that root beer. I want that root beer. And then your grandson comes in and says, oh, Papa, I want that root beer. It's like, get out of here. It's my root beer. You know, we're selfish. We're selfish. Going on, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Man, I am telling you, we get so involved in social media, which is really anti-social media. We put our opinions out there. We get mad because people don't like what we said, or people put a question mark about what we said, and we think people want to hear our opinion about everything, so we just vomit it out there, and we vomit it out there. We don't care how many people we leave in the wake behind, how many bodies and casualties are there. We just throw out our opinion like people ask for it. And he's saying, no, no, no. Don't bite and devour one another. What do you do instead? Watch out that we're not consumed. Let's live as Christ asked us to live. Let's live as Christ wants us to live. And then verse 16, how do we do that? But I say, walk by the Spirit. Listen, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. It all boils down to that, guys. And next week, we're going to dive in. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? And so we're going to pick up with the rest of that and finish it out, finish out chapter 5 next week. But that's what God has given us. He's given us freedom. And he's showing the false message and the false messengers, but yet Christ has given us freedom from all of that. And that is the good news. Let's pray. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to take our place on the cross, to bear the weight of the sin that we could never have satisfied. Father, to be our unrighteousness so that we could be righteous, to be our unholiness so that we could be holy, to take our shame so that we could have a new name and be someone different. And we thank you for that. Father, help us not to live in the wonder of our works. You know, look at what all I'm doing for you, God. But help us to live as humble servants, serving you with passion because we're in love with you so much that we just want to do whatever we can to bring other people into this light. Father, thank you. And I pray for our church that we would have the opportunities to be that city on the hill, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, to be different in this world. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.